mind is on verse 3 this morning, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. You may remember last week tried to show you that the church is in hostile territory, how the establishment of the church at Thessalonica was pretty much proof of that. This crazy stuff happening, and yet God blessing people to come to knowledge of the truth and a church to be established there in Thessalonica. So let me read the first three verses, and our subject matter is in verse 3. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Don't you know Paul was a praying man? All these churches, every epistle, he talks about how he prayed for the church nonstop. I think Paul was continually in prayer before God for the saints of God and the local churches, because he knew the church was in hostile territory. The church is in hostile territory. Verse 3 now. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. What I'd like to try to talk to you about is the work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, and I'm going to call this faith works, love labors, and hope has patience. And you can tell I'm already over my head. Faith works. Paul was thanking God, remembering without ceasing their work of faith. Isn't that great? You know, my friends, there's no question that faith involves believing Bible truth. No question. I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of believing Bible truth. In fact, I think I would even say that is a work in and of itself. Wouldn't you agree with that? Do you know sometimes I've had to unlearn some things I was taught wrong about to learn something that was actually right? And believing Bible truth will determine whether or not we give God the glory he so justly deserves. Or are we going to be guilty of giving some of the glory that God deserves to man? See, that's what we don't want to do. I say to you again, if you love God, hate sin, love Jesus, and if the gospel means something to you, you're a child of God. But you're a child of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. It wasn't what you did. It was what Jesus did. I promise you, when you get to heaven, have you ever noticed how everybody sends you, they want you to give their opinion on their, you've got a survey. Have you ever noticed, I got a survey from OnStar the other day. I'm not even signed up for OnStar. I got a survey. Well, if there's a survey as you walk into the pearly gates, and they say, why are you in heaven? You're not going to start with I. It'll be no I did this, I did that. It's going to be Jesus did this. And we'll be there in spite of what we are. Amen. Even as people that are trying to be Christian, we mess up so bad. Well, I do. And I'm ashamed. I tell St. Francis all the time, St. Francis, you don't really know me. And I don't want you to. I know the bad me. You know, every one of us is like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, for heaven's sake. Okay, enough of that. I tell you, it's so important to believe truth. I believe Dickie Hagelwalks is right. I think the gospel is much more about believing correctly than behaving correctly. But I want y'all to know, faith works. Faith works. We need to be working. It ought to be obvious we're not working to get to heaven. We're working because we're going. Faith works. Let's get to work for the Lord. There's much to do in God's service. Amen. Did you know sweeping the leaves in the parking lot is part of God's service? Just simple things like that. Taking out the trash, etc. Attending church. There's been a lot of work done in the service of the Lord in the Bible, hasn't there? Anybody in the Bible do any work for the Lord? Any of that going on? I thought about Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, which we're studying in Bible study on Wednesday nights. The Bible study people just have to forgive me. Those folks did a lot of work. I think they believed some truth, don't you? I think they believed truth. Although, there were also sometimes they didn't believe truth like they should have. But they did a lot of work for the Lord. Yes, they did. By faith, Noah built an ark. Took him 100 years. I want you to think about that. 100 years of hard labor. No extension cords, I don't think. No power tools. Did Noah work? You want to know why he did that? Because he believed what God said, but he also had to do some work, didn't he? Y'all see what I'm saying? These things go hand in hand. By faith, Abraham left home and toured the land of Canaan. The Lord said, come on, we're going. Lord Abraham said, where are we going? The Lord said, I'll tell you when we get there. Did you realize that God was his GPS? And how many of you want to get in your vehicle and set the GPS and you don't even know where the destination is? That's what Abraham did. Did that take work? It took faith, but it also took some work, didn't it? Oh, y'all, by faith Abraham offered up Isaac in Genesis 22. You know, he actually was going to go through with it. You want to know why? Because what he believed about fundamental Bible truth. He knew that God would raise that boy from the dead if he slew him. See, that would have been a point where I would normally have said, say amen, church, but I'm trying to break myself of that bad habit. I want you to think about that, though. He knew that God would raise him from the dead if he burnt him up. Do you see how he had faith, but he also had works? Let me ask you a question. Did Abraham have to do that? Did God say to Abraham, okay, did God say to Abraham, Abraham, do you want to go to heaven? Abraham, if you want to go to heaven, here's what you got to do. You got to offer your... Did that? Did God ever say that? He did not. Now, he did tell them, if you want to go to the land of Canaan, you got to do some work. But you know what Canaan is typological of? The kingdom of heaven here on earth. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob over Esau. He put the secondborn over the firstborn. Against all human tradition, I wonder if sometimes our work makes us go against, working for the Lord may mean we have to go against some human tradition. What do you say? I think so. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And this is snarky, but wouldn't you like to see Hunter Biden refuse to be called the son of the president? How would you like to see that? That's exactly what happened with Moses. He left all that, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin. For a season, Moses made that choice. Did that take any work? Take any guts? Of course, did he have help from God? Sure. I want y'all to know we can't do any of this unless the Lord's with us. But the Lord is with us, and we can do a lot more than we sometimes think. You can do, through the power of God that is in you, the Spirit, the new creature, the Holy Spirit blessing you, you can do things that you're not physically, humanly capable of doing in and of your own carnal flesh, but you can do them through God. I believe this with all my heart. You can even quit whining. I've told you that story so many times. You can even quit whining. Oh. Just let me ask you this, though. Moses did leave Egypt. He left all that power, all that pomp, all that politics. He left all that, but look what he got to see as a result. If he had not left Egypt, he would have never seen the parting of the Red Sea. He would have never seen the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He would have never seen any of that if he had not done what he did by faith. Does faith require work? Hey, I'm asking, does faith require going upstream? By faith, the Israelites kept the Passover down in Egypt. They had, you know, that was kind of a bloody mess. They had to slay a lamb, keep it up. They had to keep it up for 2 weeks, if I remember right. Had to watch it closely, make sure there wasn't any blemish in it. They had to get all the... Oh man, they had to get all the biscuits and bread and homemade rolls and those yeast rolls and that really wonderful sourdough bread out of their houses and just eat unleavened bread. What? Get the leaven out. Had to do all that. Had to, and think about it. Put the blood on all that. Did God bless them? That very night they left Egypt. And then what they had to do, came out there to the Red Sea. They had to march out into that Red Sea. And the Lord stood. I mean, imagine that. The Lord parted the Red Sea. They marched out through there. I'd have been a nervous wreck every minute. You know, I'm talking about this wall right here, water. What's holding that up? Y'all, they had to go through there. They had to cross that. Y'all understand me? God was not going to pick the nation of Israel up and drag them through the Red Sea by brute force. They had to do it. Y'all all with me? Faith works. These things, all that I've mentioned to you here, involve work. I made to think about it. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ taught the doctrine of justification by works? Now, when I say justification, you know I'm not talking about regeneration. I'm talking about being declared to be just. And the Bible teaches the doctrine of justification by works, which is that others see our good works. Remember these words of our Lord? Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You realize Jesus Christ right there is teaching the doctrine of justification by works, which is also taught in the book of James. And y'all know, I've already told y'all, Calvin didn't think the book of James was even canonical because he couldn't understand the doctrine of justification by works. Because he was trying to think everything's eternal. Well, that's not eternal. That's right here. Let your light so shine before men. Is that going to make you work any work involved in that? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back and say, oh, wonderful. No, it's so that they can give God the glory for what a person you are. See a difference in you. Jesus Christ taught that. And of course, James teaches it too. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he took Isaac up on the mountain and offered him? Listen to this. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? This is James 2, 21 and 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, that is, complete or mature. When I say that, I automatically wonder whether my faith is mature. I sometimes doubt it. But this idea of faith working is absolutely critical for our Christian witness, if we're going to be able to reach out and influence others. If others are going to be able to look at us and see Christ and God in us rather than seeing worldliness in us. Faith works, would you say? Oh, whoops. Faith works. And we need, and you know, you've got faith, and it's kind of like you need to work your faith. I wonder if we might get stronger at that. I've told you about the story when I couldn't pick up Seth's subwoofer. I couldn't pick up Seth's subwoofer. He had one end and I had the other end. Dad, pick it up. I said, son, I'm trying. I'm trying with all I got. Pick it up, Dad. Son, he's so much stronger. I used to be strong, too. I used to be wiry and strong. No, you know. If I would work out, I might be a little bit stronger, but I'm too lazy to work out. Y'all get the idea? Working might help me. I wonder if there's a spiritual parallel. I wonder if we need to train, strengthen our spiritual muscles just like our physical muscle. What do you think? Oh, I think so. By the way, did you know a good, steady diet will help your spiritual muscles? A steady diet, a balanced diet of the Word of God will help your spiritual muscles so that you can work your faith. It's so important, isn't it? Now, here's my final question on this section. Is the work that faith works important work? Is the work that faith works important work? I do believe it is. I think it's maybe the most important. Faith works. Now the next one, which I think I love even more. Love labors. Oh, you know, the whole world is just gone thinking that love is an emotion, just an emotion, just a feeling. My friends, love labors. Love does not just lie around and feel. Love does not just emote all over the place. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Is there emotion involved? Of course there's emotion involved, but there's more than emotion. Are you with me? Love is much more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love labors. Well, let's look at Galatians 5:6. You know love labors, don't you? You know it does. Galatians 5:6. I could quote it. Let's turn to it. Love labors. Faith works. Love labors. You say you're repeating yourself. Well, that's kind of true. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Y'all know what that means? There is no longer any difference between Jew and Gentile. This is taught in Romans, Galatians, other places in the Bible. The middle wall of partition has been broken down between the two. God has made in the death of Christ of the twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man in the New Testament. Of course, I automatically want to be snarky and ask, why in the world is everybody so in a panic about the Jews as a nation when the Bible says there's no longer any difference? But anyway, that's not what I'm after. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, I've heard that misrepresented to insinuate that all it is just love, 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 love. Just love God. And of course, you should love God. There's no question. But loving God means more than just feeling a warm fuzzy about God. Can you grasp what I'm saying? Love labors. I love the fact that that says faith worketh by love. In fact, let me emphasize that the primary verb in that sentence is work. Faith which worketh. How does it work? By love. You know what I think that means? I think it means our motive. This is why I insist fundamental doctrine matters. Our highest, holiest, most profound motive for doing anything at all in the service of God is love for God. Our faith works. It's like love's the motivator. We should love God forever more than we do, more than we're able to do. We should love God just because of what He's done. It should not be tiddlywinks or bargaining with God, Lord, I'll do this if you'll do so and so for me. But we have the tendency to do that. Part of that is, let's admit it, when bad things happen, I have the tendency to say, why is this happening to me? I'm doing such a good job. I may not use those words. I am in essence saying, ooh, Lord, I'm working so hard for you and I'm doing so much. And why? What? Isn't it something how we can feel that way? Even if we don't use those words, even if we're not willing to admit it, we can. I say that love should be our motive for serving God. Love because of what He's done. If He never does another thing for us. I'm very serious. Just the fact that God redeemed your soul by the blood of Jesus is enough to cause us to love Him for the rest of our lives and do whatever it takes under whatever circumstances to serve Him. I believe this with all my heart. Love labors. Faith which works by love. That sounds to me like faith and love kind of connected there. Love labors. Love changes dirty diapers. And with joy. Love washes clothes. Men, love picks up his underwear and puts them in the hamper. Love empties the dishwasher once in a while too, maybe. LOL. Love goes to work every day. And with joy to provide for his household. This is one thing I try to get across to young couples, to the male of the species. Make it your joy to provide for your family. Love goes to work every day. And love can't wait to get home to the wife in the evening. But love also stops on the way home for milk and bread and baby food, if need be. See, these little things that we do are love. Love in action. Love in deed, not only in word. See, that's... Oh, Becky asked in the party last night, has anybody ever written your poem? Well, I've written Becky poems. And she said, I don't get it, to my poem. And but you know what Becky does get? If I empty the dishwasher, if I sit with her on the couch, if I say, honey, let's go for a walk, are you listening to me? Love means love labors. Love labors. I'm telling you, it does. Okay. Love labors to understand his wife. Love labors to understand her husband. And it can be done. Don't let the psychologist tell you otherwise. Love labors. Love labors. For 20 plus years to rear her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that they, the children, can in turn labor in love to raise their children even better. So society doesn't crumble around us. Does love labor? Or does love just lay around and feel, emote? Let's move it up to the spiritual level. That's pretty profound to me. And I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed of how averse to labor I am. I'm just ashamed. But let's move it up to the spiritual level now. Love labors in the kingdom of God. Love labors in the kingdom of God. Love labors to keep house for the Lord. Love is faithful to the Lord. I should have mentioned it a minute ago. Love, whether it's husband or wife, is faithful to husband or wife. Love is faithful to the Lord. Now you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. I'm not faithful to the Lord. I know I'm not either. That's why we need to be laboring at it, working at it, trying to improve. Did you know God is pleased when we do better? The idea that we've got to be perfect to please the Lord is completely foreign to the Bible. You want to know? Now, I'm going to say this. I know it, y'all. I know it took Christ to satisfy God. It took Christ's perfect life, his perfect death, his perfect atonement to satisfy God. But that's a given. And you can please God when you do better, when you try. I believe this with all my heart. Cease thinking you've got to be perfect to please God. No, because Christ was perfect, you can please God
now.
You say, well, I'm still got a bad nature. God knows that very well. He's very well aware of that. Don't you think? Look, He made you. There's nothing about you that He does not know. He knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. Right? Love labors in the kingdom of God. Love is faithful to the Lord, faithful in attendance, faithful in prayer, even faithful in financial support. These are all labors of love in the kingdom of God. And ultimately, I tell you, if we ever get our thinking sort of squared away, these things can be our joy too. They really should be our joy. But now let me tell you, if you get up on a certain Sunday morning and your joy is on the ebb, you know, it's not as, and you do what's right because you know you should, but you don't have as much joy, you're still doing the right thing. And God may even give you joy for that. Can you understand what I'm saying? Love labors. We labor for the Lord. Yes, we do. We labor for the Lord at home, on the job, at school, in class, wherever we are, we can be laboring for the Lord. Just let your light shine. Let your light shine. Love is faithful to labor in the word of the Lord, to read and study and share it with others. How much effort, labor did the apostle here put forth to do that very thing? You say, well, he's a preacher. That's true. And there's no doubt that there's a level of, responsibility that pastors have that the parishioners do not. There's no question about that. But that does not mean that all of us should not be laboring in the service of God and in the kingdom of God and in the ministry of the word. I mentioned a moment ago, mamas. Did you know mamas can labor in the word in the home teaching their children? That is so important. I'm not sure we can even realize how important that is. I know I've said this to you before. Anytime anybody compliments me on John or Seth, and what good men they are, and they are good men. You know what I always say? They had a good mama. She raised three boys. I'm not sure, but what that old song was right, the hand that rocked the cradle rules the world. I'm not sure, but what that's right. C.S. Lewis said, motherhood, homemaking is the most important job in the world, and all other jobs are to support that job. That's pretty smart, C.S. Lewis. Corinthians 15. Love labors in the kingdom of God. Love labors for the Lord. I think I would be willing to say today, love is heartbroken at God's children that are in bondage of believing unbiblical things. And love labors to deliver God's children from said bondage. From the fear. Love labors to deliver God's children from the fear of eternal death. And so many of them are going around scared to death about eternal death when they've been delivered from it by the blood of Jesus the whole time. This should be a strong motivator for us to labor in the kingdom of God. And I think this is what Christ meant when he said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lost sheep. See that? They're sheep. They're God's children, but they're lost. They're not lost going to hell. There are people that are going to heaven that may not even know it. They need to be delivered. The only thing that will deliver them is the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the gospel that Paul preached. And may we try to preach it. I say it is the most important, most valuable commodity on the planet. It's more precious than gold. First Corinthians 15, Paul is describing the apostles. Did the apostles labor? Did they labor in love? Did they work their faith? Oh, man. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, he describes the apostles. Christ was resurrected. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, verse 5. After that, he was seen of 500 brethren at one time. That's pretty amazing. 500 people at one time saw the resurrected Christ. That might would be enough evidence in an American court, but I don't know. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, as also as of one born out of due time. Paul was the apostle that came along too late to be an apostle, so God had to do something special to him. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Okay, is it possible for a child of God to be so mixed up he would persecute truth? Durr. Yes. 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. What do you mean his grace was not bestowed? Why? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Look at that. You know which one of the apostles got the most work done? Paul. Who established the most churches? Who wrote the most New Testament epistles? Who? Paul. Who was it that laid down the doctrines of the Christian religion that we're still trying to figure out? Who did that? This man who labored more abundantly than they all. Is he thumping his chest? I think not. You know what I think he's doing? I think he's saying it is an absolute miracle that I was an apostle in the first place, and then the Lord blessed me to do some work for him. Hallelujah! I think that's what Paul was saying. We should all labor more abundantly in the kingdom of God. Not just for others. Your joy will increase when you do that. Your peace will increase. I was telling Becky, you know, it's wonderful to be at nearly 63 years old to feel like I'm at least of a little use somehow. This will help you know that you're of use in the kingdom of God. Did you know every one of you are of use? You've got a function. You've got an important duty to do, a great privilege to perform, each and every one of you. It is one of the most incredible, phenomenal, outrageous cosmic blessings that ever could come on a human to be able to labor for God in His kingdom. Just blow the leaves. Sweep it, sweep it, sweep it, sweep something. Just little stuff like that. Give a cup of cold water to one of the children of God. Okay, ladies. Hug your husband when he doesn't deserve to be hugged. Well, that's a test. Well, the ornery cuss. Brother Gary told you to pick up your underwear. And here they lay. I'm not sure, but what? Now that I mention that, oh man, this you ladies gonna kill me, I know. I'm not sure, but what? Love your husband when he didn't deserve it. May motivate him to pick up his underwear next time. More than a bawling out. Now that works the other way, I know. I'm not picking on the ladies, I'm actually picking on the men there a little bit. Are you with me? You want to know how you can labor in the kingdom of God? Are you listening? Forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. Forgive them. Do not allow yourself to be offended in the kingdom of God. The service of God, the gospel of Christ is too important for that. Well, I wanted the other carpet. I've heard none of that from you, and I thank God for that. Let us not be offended. Somebody may say something a little snarky. Oh, don't get offended. Are you with me? Labor in the kingdom! Now, I also want to say this, though. There's a sense in which, at times, we've got to be willing to stand for what's right in the face of a crazy world, even if it does offend. Okay. We should all labor more abundantly. Love labors. Are you with me? Love labors. We should labor more abundantly in the kingdom of God. It should be our number one top priority. Job one. Listen to me, Sunday service, you should not see if you can work it into your schedule. Work your schedule around it. Labor, love labors. And this also means we're going to have to be willing to say no. My friends, we're going to have to be willing to say no to the world some to be able to say yes to the Lord. Okay. Finally, back to our text. Faith works, love labors, and hope has patience. And you say, Brother Gary, you ain't got no patience, and I know you don't, and you're right. But what I'd like you to think about this, I want you to understand the word hope in the Bible means more than just a flimsy wish. Hope in the Bible means expected, something that's expected to happen, something you expect to happen because you have evidence that it is going to happen. That's what hope means in the Bible. And I could read to you Romans, well, okay, here's what it says in Romans. Just listen. We are saved by hope. Well, does that mean you go to heaven by hope? No. That means God's children are delivered, saved from a lot of heartache and woe and disappointment and worry if they have sufficient hope in God and Christ. If we know, do you realize we can know some things are going to happen, expect them to happen because of what they're taught, what we learned in the Bible here. God said they're going to happen. Can I quote you one? He shall save his people from their sins. He will not lose even one of his sheep. Not even one. The Lord knoweth them that are his. They're engraven on the palms of his hands. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Well, I guess. I mean, you know, if I've got a cup of coffee, I'm not hoping I'll get a cup of coffee. I've got one. But if we hope for that we see not, here's the definition of hope. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it, because we know it's coming. Are you with me? There you have it. Waiting for something to happen. Now, 1 Thessalonians, let's look down below here, and he's going to define something. I want you to be, and by the way, hope has patience. We're waiting for something. But you know, my brothers and sisters, the Lord is not on our time schedule. Remember all those delays in the Bible, delay after delay, you know, and I mean, I'm going to say to you again, I hope the Lord comes before we finish lunch. And if the Lord comes before we even finish lunch, guess what? You will not be missing lunch. You will not be missing anything. But also I'm aware that the odds are against it. The Lord may not come today before lunch. But I expect it. You know why I expect it? Not because I'm so, listen here, I don't expect it because I'm so great. Because of what I've done. Based on that, I would have no expectation at all. I expect it because of the work of our Lord and his testimony in his word. Verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians 1, down below there. And to wait for his son from heaven. Isn't that really ultimately what we're all really ultimately waiting for? That's what we're waiting for. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. God raised Christ from the dead, which is the proof that he's coming back to get us. God raising Christ from the dead is the proof. Proof that he did everything God told him to do. Proof that he's coming back to get us without the loss of one. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm looking forward to that day. I know you are too, but we're going to have some patience. And I tell you right now, I remember Brother Hill preached many, many, many years ago, enjoy the trip. Maybe some of you from here, Portland, remember that great sermon, enjoy the trip. I make a motion that while we wait for the Lord's return, we enjoy the trip. And the way that you can enjoy the trip the best is work your faith, labor, and